Good morning, Ebenezer family. It's so good to just be back together. I am excited about what the Lord is doing in this season and time and using the body of Christ. I want you to just continue to just pray for all those who are struggling. Got a lot of bereaved families that are going through during this season. Let's lift up just protection as the COVID-19 numbers are rising. So many more families are being infected and affected by it. But we know our God is faithful. So I want you to do what you need to do with wearing masks and washing your hands and social distancing. But most importantly, stay in prayer. Hear the voice of the Lord. And that's what we've been dealing with, that whole encounter with God. Just some announcements. I'm just excited what's happening at Ebenezer. God has helped us to have so many connections. At ebcnc.com, we have so many things that are going on at that site. Just want to give a shout out to our web mistress, Angela Howard. She's just been doing an excellent job keeping all those things together. We have our calendar there. We've got our videos, our online giving that is there. We've got our podcasts, audio services, calls, and your testimonies. If you have testimonies and songs, we would love for you to share it with us by uploading, following the directions to that, and just so that we can get more people involved in these services. It seems that we're going to be doing this for an extended period of time just because of COVID-19, and so many people have health issues or going through or just trying to protect their families. So we want you to be involved. So please check that out. Also, we have so many things going on. Of course, our 10 a.m. service, Tuesdays, noondays, Wednesday. We're in the book of Joshua now. I'm excited about that. We have our Monday night Bible studies, marriage teachings, and so much more on the website. So thank God for his grace and mercy that he's been doing within the midst of us. Don't forget to stay connected. On all of our Bible studies, we have a chat session that you can get on. Say hello, good morning. Hopefully you're doing that today. And actually put your comments out there. Amen, hallelujah, sharing, talking back to one another. That's important to stay connected. Just want to give you one of my favorite scriptures. I want to first say thank you. Thank you for your giving, using that Tithely button on our website or the app or sending it into our secure mailbox. Thank you for all you do and just praying. 2 Corinthians 9:7, so important. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then that eighth verse is even more powerful. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, notice this, may have an abundance for every good work. So I know God has been blessing you. I'm staying his will, continue to hear his voice. And that's why we're dealing with this. God has been dealing strong with my heart on this encounter with God. Well, after this song, going to be back and we're going to jump back into the scriptures. See you soon.
Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. I said, Jordan River, you know I've got to cross. You know, Jordan River, I'm bound to cross. I got one more river to cross. Mother and father be there, they can't help me to cross. I said, my mother and father be there, they can't help me to cross. I said, a mother and father be there, they can't help me to cross. I got one more river to cross. My brother and sister be there, they can't help me to cross. You know, my brother and my sister be there, they can't help me to cross. I said, my brother and sister be there, They can't help me to cross. I got one more old river to cross. Jesus, he'll be there. He will help me to cross. I said, my Jesus, he'll be there. He will help me to cross. I said, my Jesus, he'll be there. He can help me to cross. I got one more river to cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You were blessed by that song. I'm just excited how God just uses all of us as we come together and we seek his face. Well, once you prepare yourself today, we are still on that journey with an encounter with God. And today we're going to the Damascus Road. This is actually going to be a two-section scripture that we're going to be dealing with today and on next Sunday, just following this transition of the life of Saul to Paul. Before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your presence in our lives and for your tremendous grace and mercy. Lord, I pray for those who are looking in today that they be edified and lifted up. For those who don't know you, I pray that their souls will be saved today. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised your Son from the dead and you said that we would be saved. Lord, thank you that it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you. Would you please help us to receive that gift today? Now, Lord, as we approach your word, do it very carefully. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so I welcome you, Holy Spirit. You have never failed. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have an encounter with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we want to look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and focus on that fifth verse as we've been dealing with an encounter. I pray today that you look at yourself and always that we look at ourselves and just truly ask ourselves, have we had an encounter with God? And as we focus in on that, if you haven't, please, please give your life to the Lord. Really go into him and allow him to transform you from the inside out. Look at Acts chapter 9 in that fifth verse. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Let's look at that again. Acts 9:5, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against, New King James Version, the goads. And so all of these coming together, I want to put forth a title. A change has come over me. A change has come over me. Again, as we go through these scriptures today, I want you to ask yourself, has a change come over you? Has a change really manifested in your life? When there is something traumatic, something that has touched you in a deep way, you never forget those things. And so I want you to know, if you have had an encounter with God today as we follow the life of Paul the Apostle. The time frame is about AD 35. Paul was from Tarsus of Cilicia and was born in a well-to-do home. He also had matriculated in his learning, and he was a Pharisee, also known as a Pharisee of a Pharisee, very proficient in the law. He himself called himself blameless, at least in the part of keeping up the law. But when the followers of Jesus started to grow, and this Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, which they called of the Way, began to talk about that he was the only way to God, Paul the Apostle, being in the background with the Pharisees and Sadducees, felt that Jesus was a heretic. After he was crucified on that cross, the followers of Christ, after seeing Jesus resurrected, became even stronger in their faith. And this was actually opposing the Pharisees, Sadducees, because they were in control. And to say that Jesus was Lord, that the Messiah actually had come, died, and had gone back to heaven, and they missed it, that was an indictment upon their faith. And Paul the Apostle finds himself opposing the real, true, and living God. He's so adamant that he's actually going about and dragging Christians into the prison. Some even believe that he was murdering them, all because of his zeal for what he thought was right. I want to pick up some background text in Acts 7:57. This is very important because this is the first time we really see Saul/Paul. And I use that because after he's converted, that change, his name is changed from Saul to Paul, and we know him as the Apostle Paul. Acts 7:27, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And so we realize here that Saul was at that first slaughter of a Christian, that first martyr that was slain by stone. Saul was right there at that site of Stephen. 7:59, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So imagine being there, seeing this sight, but so angry that you're witnessing, and you actually desired this person to be killed, to be stoned, and you held the coats. You were accessory to the crime. This is Saul/Paul. Even after the Christians were under persecution and they were scattered, Paul was still raging. This sight of Stephen being that first martyr did not change him to soften his heart, but it made him even harder. And some of you may have experienced that with family and friends and loved ones. You can share Jesus and you're expecting them to change or give them life to the Lord, but they run harder the other way. This is Saul. He is adamantly against the Christian faith. He wants to do all he can do to extinguish their zeal and fire for Jesus Christ the Lord. And so we find Saul on a journey now. He goes 150 miles to Damascus, which is northeast of Jerusalem, the capital of Syria, to actually harass them. Now, this is not a time that you just jump on a plane or you just get in a car. This is hard travel by foot or by animal. And his heart is so on fire against the Christians that he's willing to do whatever it takes. Let's pick up that 9th chapter in the first verse. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters for him to synagogues of the Damascus, so that if he found any who were other way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. First point of the day, before Christ. Before Christ. This is the picture that we painted of Saul/Paul before Christ. He is a mean man. Actually, I had thought about putting the first point, mean man, because he really is. His heart is so hard towards the Christian. So Paul, he actually goes to the high priest at that time, Theophilus, and he wants papers. He wants authorization to actually be able to persecute the Christians. And so this son of Annas had more authority, had the authority to give to Paul to actually go after the Christians. The fact is, before Christ, I want you to get this, that we were all entrenched in sin. Yeah, a change has come over me. That's why I said at the beginning of this sermon, I want you to think about your life. If you have been saved, there has to have been a change, a significant change. Not saying that you're perfect, but something happened to you. And just as Paul, before his conversion, a mean man, before Christ, also at this point, the Spirit speaks in Ephesians 4 that gives us a more insight of our whole transformation process. That 17th verse, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Look at this. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." Talking about a change has come over us. It says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct." So we're looking at Saul, says Paul, that transformation before Christ. He's mean, he's ugly, he's hateful. And in our lives before Christ, we had issues. No matter how moral we were raised, there were still so many wicked things that were going on. And we realized that we needed a savior. Notice as this continues on, "that you put off concerning your former conduct that the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and he renew and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Ephesians 4:24, "and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." A change has come over me. This whole scripture lets us know, in order to be changed, we actually go from an old creation to a new man. And I pray that there's some testimonies out there saying, "Pastor, I'm on the list. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ Jesus, because a change has come over us." Look at Acts 9:3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Here's another point. From darkness to light. From darkness to light. Now, as we look at this particular scripture, there's so much that's going on. It is a very picturesque scripture. So I want you to be on that Damascus road as Saul, so there's Paul. He's traveling with his entourage. They're on animals. We're not sure whether he's riding or just walking, but we know that there's some animals there. And so as he's walking down this road, angry, upset, he is on task to drag some Christians to the prisons, possibly even kill them. All of a sudden, a light engulfs. Look at that third verse. It said, "A light shone around him, and it's so bright that it covers him." It said it comes from heaven and it shine. It actually blinds out the sun. So the sun is shining and the light comes from heaven, and that light is brighter than the sun. It encompasses Saul. God shows up in an amazing way from darkness to light. McDonald writes of this moment, "In order to appreciate Saul's emotion at this time, it is necessary to remember that he was convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was dead and buried in a Judean grave. Since the leader of the sect had been destroyed, all that was now necessary was to destroy his followers. Then the earth would be free of this scourge. Now, with crushing force, Saul learns that Jesus is not dead at all. This realization comes to him, but that he has been raised from the dead and has been glorified at the right hand of God in heaven. It was the sight of this glorified Savior that changed the entire direction of his life." Wow, a change has come over me. Have you had an encounter with God that actually changed the whole direction of your life, changed your mindset, changed the being, the base person that you are? You understand that I have had a direct connection with the Lord. And if you haven't had that, I encourage you to cry out to God today. Notice when the scripture, God begins to speak, and there is a part that really is significant. He talks to Saul, and he brings out, he says, and he said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And he brings out this, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. King James Version says the pricks. So what are these goads? Those who are farmers, those who have been in that farming culture and had animals or oxes, you know what a goad is. That goad or that that it's talking about is actually a stick. And it's long and it's pointed. And at the end of it, you actually keep the animal in line. So as they're doing the farm work and they're plowing and you're behind that, sometimes that ox would be upset. He was like, I don't want to work today. And so he would kick up and he would use those hind legs as a defense process to actually clear out those that were around him. But that person would actually hold that stick. And so when he kicked, guess what? It would dig into his hind legs. It would dig into that animal. And so every time he kicked, he was causing more problems for himself. And this is what was happening with Saul/Paul, this conversion process. The more that he went against the Christian faith, the deeper it got into him. The more he fought against the thought pattern of Jesus being alive, the more it hurt him on the inside. And some of you realize that in our lives, when we were running from God, we thought that we could get away, but the harder we ran, it seemed like the more it hurt on the inside of us, until we came to the point and said, God, I am a sinner and I need you, Lord, come into my life. I'm talking about a change has come over me. Imagine at this point, as the light shines around him and all of a sudden he falls down, he hears Jesus. Maybe Jesus really shows up and he sees the picture. Paul even said that I saw Jesus. I was an apostle that was added. Out of time, in a sense. Maybe Jesus showed his nail printed hands, and maybe he looked at his side like he did for Thomas. Whatever happened at this point, Paul knows that this is the Christ, this is the anointed one, and his life is forever changed. I'm talking about a change has come over me. Look at Acts 9:6. So Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Here's another point. Assignment. On assignment. Now, I found this in my life and those who were saved and have been changed. When you have a conversion, when a change comes over you, God always puts you on assignment. He always gets you or gives you something to do. And here's the same thing with Saul. God says, okay, you know it's me now. You're in a submissive mode. Now I'm giving you directions. And notice within this scripture, he was trembling. He was astonished. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I lift up this because when you come in contact with God, that should be our plea. God, just tell me what you want me to do. I'll do it. Now, I must be honest. Some of the things that God will ask you to do, you may not like. You may disagree. But because you're submissive and because God is God alone, you understand and learn just to trust him. See, Pastor, you have any examples of that? Remember Job. Job didn't like the life that he was dealt, the life card that he was dealt. But God says, I'm with you. When he showed up, he didn't even answer the questions that Job had. He's just said, were you there? And it's the same thing in our lives. When we're going through sometimes, we don't like it, we don't understand it, but there ought to be some saints out there that look back and say, when I look back and I realize that God was carrying me, when I look back, I realize that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his plan. And there ought to be some hallelujahs today just to think that God is always in charge. I'm talking about on assignment. Look at Acts 9:7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, Acts 9:9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. As we're pulling this section together, here's the final point of the day. Spiritual sight. Now the picture that I want you to get today, the light shone around him. He has a direct encounter with God. There is not a lot of conversation that goes on. He realized that this is Jesus Christ, the Lord, that was crucified, that was buried, but now he's resurrected with all power and glory. And when he gets up off that ground from being knocked on the ground, we find out that he cannot physically see. He is actually blinded. Look at that A first. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. He could not see anything, but spiritually, his eyes had been open. I want to give you a something and a thought right now. Please understand, your spiritual sight is more profound and more important than your physical sight. Yes, your spiritual sight is more profound and more important than your physical sight. There are a lot of people that walk around with corrective 20/20, or those who don't have to have correction, 20/20 vision. They can see real good, and we have whole sights to get glasses to make sure that we look good. We have surgeries to correct our vision, and that's great and grand, but there's so many people walking around with correct vision, but they cannot see spiritually. They are blind. And because of that, they can see their way through this world, but they cannot see the spiritual directive. So they're constantly stumbling around. But Saul/Paul, when he got up off the ground, he couldn't see physically, but spiritually, his eyes were open. Now notice there's something else that happens in the scripture in that seventh verse. The men that had journeyed with Saul here, they stood speechless. They heard a voice, but they did not see anyone. Now I want to get you this. This is important, and some of you are already with. Saul gets up off the ground, can't see physically, can't see anybody, but spiritually he can. The men that were with him, they heard a voice, but they saw no one. Saul was able to see Jesus, but they couldn't see him. That's amazing. And that's what's going on in our world. There's so many people that are in the midst of a spiritual and profound encounter with God, but they cannot see it. They're there. They know something supernatural has happened, but their eyes have not been opened. And it's up to us that has had a change in our lives, a change with inside of us that know who Jesus Christ is, to let them know that the Lord is real. I'm so glad as we pull this section together. I want to come back on next Sunday, because I'm going to deal with another encounter within this encounter. Please understand that Saul understood that Jesus Christ was real. You got to know that he was real. Saul realized that at that moment that Jesus Christ was the one that carried his sins and bore his griefs on the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He understood that without Christ, there was no way. Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man will someone would even dare to die." Saul understood, thank God for Jesus, because I was a messed up, jacked up man, but that same Christ, even though I persecuted him, he went to that cross and died for me. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:9, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Paul understood this. I'm saved. I'm on assignment. And though I don't have a physical eyes, I've got spiritual sight. And that's more than enough. Jesus died for us all on that cross of Calvary. But he got up on the third day, not just for Paul. Remember, Paul, it says within that he went without his sight for 3 days. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ, in that same correlation, that he was in that cold tomb and grave for 3 days, but on the third day he gets up with all power and all glory. All these are significant points, and I'm glad to tell you today that God wants to change you. He wants to change me. He wants us to be more like him. Walter Hawkins sang this song, "A change has come over me. He changed my life and now I'm free. He washed away all my sins. He made me whole. He washed me as white as snow. He changed my life complete. And now I sit at his feet to do what must be done. I work and work until he comes. A wonderful change has come over me. You've changed my life complete. Changed. And now I sit changed. I sit at my Savior's feet. I'm so glad you changed me. Are there any folks out there said, I am so glad to be changed today. So glad to be transformed, to be more like Christ. God has so much more for us. A change has come over me. It's been my heart's desire to see more people truly change, to know who Jesus is and to walk literally in his presence, to have an encounter. God wants more souls to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth in this season, in this time, as we're having a time of introspection, that we're having to look at ourselves and we're having to make decisions dealing with our environment, but yet saying, where am I spiritually? Do I know who Jesus the Christ is? If God can change a Saul/Paul and make him into a person of humility and love and kindness, the one who was persecuting Christian becomes a Christian. Man, he can change you. No matter where you find yourself is, no matter what choices you made in the past, Christ wants you to have a special relationship with him. He wants you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And the scripture said you will be saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Will you receive that gift today? Man, I want you to have that testimony that a change has come over you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word today. Thank you. There are so many intricacies within it, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just ministering to our hearts, for touching Saul/Paul on that Damascus road and changing his life forever. Lord, thank you for the fact that when he got up off of that ground, he couldn't see physically, but he could see spiritually. Lord, I pray that for us all, that we have spiritual sight today to be on assignment for you. Thank you for changing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once my soul was afar from the heavenly way, I was wretched and blind as could be. But my Savior in love turned my darkness to day. When he reached down his hands for me, oh, when the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hands for me, I was near to despair when he came to me there, and he told me that I could be free. Then he lifted my soul out of Satan dark snare. When he reached down his hands for me. Now my soul does rejoice since I've made him my choice. In the tempest to him I can flee, there to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm. Since he reached down his hands for me, oh, when the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, oh, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me.
I pray you were blessed today. I hope you're asking that question. Has a change come over me? If you don't answer that to the affirmative, please accept Jesus Christ. These are revelatory times. When I say that, we're seeing God moving in amazing ways. So much going on in our society. And I truly believe that we are in the end days, the end time. There's still more to come, but this is a preparation time for more souls to be saved and be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Thank God for Jesus. Well, until we meet again, I want you to stay in prayer, stay in God's word. God is faithful.